And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. A lot of people have been sending in questions about things that are going to be taking place in the month of September. A lot of the, whether it's economic, the Pope coming to the United States, the blood moons, and Dad and I have been tackling that on our weekend program. And for this week, I just want to let you listen to these topics as I bring them up to Dad and he explains them. And they will answer a lot of questions. He will, and his questioning and the questions that I give to him. These are a lot of questions that people have been sending in to us. So listen carefully. You'll hear your question as it's asked, and he'll address the topic and give the answer. And I'm so very thankful that he's taking time out of his busy schedule to be here with us and give you an opportunity to listen in and to learn. September 9th, let's take a look at these dates. September 9th, the date the Jewish Sanhedrin plans to put President Obama on trial on Mount Zion for promoting genocide of the Jewish people with the P5+1 agreement with Iran over that nation's nuclear weapons program. Will this trial be worthless or will it accomplish anything?
Well, I do believe, Jim, that it will accomplish something. The fact is, President Obama is going to be tried by the Sanhedrin on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Let me remind everybody, the Sanhedrin has reformed. During the times of Jesus Christ, that was the Supreme Court for the Jewish people. Today, it is a part of the Israeli judicial system, and they are needed. This group of 70 wise Jewish scholars needed to rebuild the temple. I've met with some of these members of the Sanhedrin. You met with me also when we did some video coverage of the reforming of the Sanhedrin. Now, I do believe that the trial is key to the authenticity of the Sanhedrin. Since they are a part of the Israeli judicial system, they'll be able to put President Obama on trial, even if they have to try him in absentia. That will be effective because it will be on the record that the president has been charged by a legal judicial system there in the state of Israel. So I think it will accomplish something.
Our next date, September 13th, the end of the sabbatical year at sundown on September 13th, and the date that a highly respected ultra-Orthodox Jewish rabbi named Chaim Kavanetsky says Israel's Messiah will arrive. Is he right or a false prophet?
Well, bottom line, Jim, he happens to be a false prophet. And here's the reason why. The Messiah coming to the earth for the Jewish people is the same as the second coming of Jesus Christ for Christians. And that must take place after the seven-year tribulation period. And so the fact that the end of the sabbatical year will take place on September the 13th could not be the time of the coming of the Jewish Messiah. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7 that the time of Jacob's trouble must happen before the Messiah comes. Daniel chapter 12 talks about the great tribulation, the greatest time of trouble for the Jewish people, even so much so that the archangel Michael is dispatched to protect the Jewish people. Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 gave the Olivet Discourse, and he gave all the signs for the Jewish people to be able to recognize the time before he comes. It says in Matthew 24 verse 29, immediately after the tribulation period. So that helps us to understand the tribulation must take place before the Messiah, according to the prophetic passages in God's word from the ancient Jewish prophets. And by the way, let me talk about that sabbatical year just for a moment. It cannot be the sabbatical year. When the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, Jim, and those eavesdropping on the conversation, it destroyed the temple, but it also destroyed the genealogies. It destroyed all of the records of Judaism. Total speculation as to when the sabbatical year is. There's a lot of hype going on about the sabbatical year, the Shemitah, but there's no way the Jewish people can determine that this is a sabbatical year or not.
Also on September 13th, Congress has 60 days to vote on the P5 plus one agreement with Iran, signed on July 14th, 2015. If Congress takes a full 60 days, this vote could be on September 13th. Controversy surrounds this date because there are secret deals between the International Atomic Energy Agency and Iran that Congress has not seen.
Well, Jim, whether they've been able to see these secret deals or not, and whether there are secret deals or not, it really does not matter. This is a terrible deal. It's very, very bad. And when you really stop and look at it, your understanding will have to be it is a bad deal. Let me give you a couple of reasons why. First of all, they're going to release funds of $150 billion. That's $150 billion. And that's just what they have now held up in banks going back to the Iranians. In addition to that, they'll be able to sell millions of barrels of oil, which will put so much money in their coffers. They'll be able to continue to develop their nuclear weapon of mass destruction. They'll be able to use these funds for sponsoring terrorism around the world. In fact, Hamas, the Islamic terror organization in the Gaza Strip, Hamas has already requested funds for what they want to do. And listen to this. The United Nations says they're going to let Iranian inspectors go in and inspect the weapons of mass destruction sites. That is totally ironic that they would let the fox check out the chicken coop so he can protect that coop from other foxes who want to eat the chickens. Ridiculous. One of the ministers in Israel was so sarcastic when he said the world is brilliant in some of their decisions. Significance is not September the 13th, but the deal itself. It allows the Iranians to develop a nuclear weapon of mass destruction, Jim, and Iran could break the deal at any moment and within 2 weeks have a nuclear weapon of mass destruction.
Mm. Also on the 13th, you mentioned the Shemitah year, also called a Sabbath year or a sabbatical year or the seventh year of the agricultural cycle. It ends at sundown on the 13th of September. It is associated with financial issues, debt forgiveness, economic problems, recession, declines in the stock market, etc. Jonathan Kahn says the U.S. or the world could have economic problems about this time.
Well, again, let me go back and reiterate what I said, Jim. The Shemitah year, the sabbatical year, is total subterfuge. Jonathan Kahn is not a prophet. I would say he is a heretic. He has taught false prophecy. He has two books that are false prophetic truth, The Harbinger, and it uses bad hermeneutics. You cannot put the United States of America in Isaiah's prophecy. Number of other mistakes. May I suggest you read the book by one of our broadcast partners, David James. He's written the book Harbinger, Fact or Fiction. Also, he has a Bible guide to the Shemitah and the Blood Moons. These are must reads for any of you who want to understand what Jonathan Kahn is doing. And in fact, listen, the world is already in economic crisis and led by the United States. Kahn is simply stating the obvious. Anybody could do that, but that does not make you a prophet. In fact, that is the problem with Jonathan Kahn. If you want to understand the prophets and how God is using them for his purposes, you go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18. There's a test for prophets there. And if the individual is a prophet of God speaking God's word, then everything he says will come to pass. We'll know by the end of September whether he was a prophet or a false prophet.
Also, September 13th and 15th, Rosh Hashanah, also called the Jewish New Year or the Feast of Trumpet, begins at sundown on the 13th of September and ends at sundown on the 15th of September. Some, not all prophecy teachers believe the rapture could occur at the end of Rosh Hashanah this year or next year or some year.
Well, or some year. It's going to happen. The rapture of the church is going to take place, but it will not happen in connection with Feast of Trumpets. That is impossible. By the way, Rosh Hashanah and Feast of Trumpets are two different holy days as far as the Jewish people are concerned. Rosh Hashanah, actually translated, means the beginning of the year, the new year, or the head of the year. It's the day of New Year's for the Jewish people, a celebration of creation some 5,775 years ago. Now, the Feast of Trumpets is the first of the three fall feasts, and it comes in honor of the beginning leading up to Yom Kippur, the most solemn day on the Jewish calendar. These Jewish feasts are for Jews. They are not for Christians. The rapture could not take place on a Jewish feast day. We must understand that. What happens on Rosh Hashanah will be that the Jewish people will take their shofars or their trumpets. They will go over to the Temple Mount as close as they can get to where the temple stood, and there they will blow the trumpets in celebration of creation and the new Jewish year.
These are so very important, these questions. Just got a call from a ministry head that asked about these very questions that you're going to be answering. So let's go with our next one that comes in. The 70th UN United Nations General Assembly will begin meeting. During this session, not necessarily on the 15th, France is expected to present a resolution to the United Nations Security Council to divide the Promised Land, a two-state solution, and to force a peace treaty on Israel and the Palestinian Authority. If the UN does this, their decision will lead to the beginning of the tribulation period and the Battle of Armageddon.
Well, that's what is said by these who are talking about these events in September that may well be leading to Bible prophecy. Let me take this statement and divide it into two parts. First of all, France expected to present a resolution to the United Nations Security Council. Let me just remind everybody, there has never been a state called Palestine. The Ottoman Empire ruled from 1500 to 1917. At that point in time, there was not a Palestinian state during those over 400 years. The Brits defeated the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire, and took over in 1917, and there was then no Palestinian state either. The Jewish state came into existence in 1948, and no Palestinian state in place during any of that time. So France is moving ahead with something that is brand new, never has been in place. We'll see how that plays out at the United Nations General Assembly. Now, as it relates then to the UN making a decision which will lead to the beginning of the tribulation period in the Battle of Armageddon, we've got to go back and look at that. It says the United Nations Security Council will present a resolution to the divided Promised Land, a two-state solution, and force a peace treaty on Israel. Well, that will not lead to the beginning of the tribulation period. That is incorrect. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "The clock starts ticking on the tribulation period time when the confirmation of a peace treaty does take place." Not a peace treaty that is put in place by the United Nations. After the rapture of the church, the revived Roman Empire comes into play. That's Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, and also verses 23 and 24. Daniel 7, verse 8 talks about a little horn coming out of the ten horns, which will be the revived Roman Empire. And that name, little horn, is one of 27 names for the Antichrist. So that's the second thing that has to happen, the revived Roman Empire, the appearance of Antichrist. And then Daniel 9:27 goes into play, and he, the Antichrist, will confirm a treaty, a covenant. That is confirmation, not the signing of a peace treaty, not a forced peace treaty by the United Nations on this world and on this Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So Daniel 9:27 has to come into play. But before that can happen, the rapture of the church must take place, because we're not in the tribulation period now. The rapture will take Christians out of this world. So that September the 15th date at the United Nations General Assembly has nothing to do with Bible prophecy, except for it being a precursor setting the stage for what will happen.
The questions that we asked last week began with the 13th and on the 15th. Now, this next question is something that takes place on the 20th of September. The Jewish Sanhedrin plans to put Pope Francis on trial on Mount Zion for officially recognizing the existence of a Palestinian state on the land that God gave to Israel. Will the outcome be recognized by God?
Now, Jim, I don't have an answer to that one. Only God knows if he's going to recognize what they do. And I'm not trying to be facetious or sarcastic, but God has a plan. He is sovereign. He knows what's happening. I cannot give you any idea of what God will recognize. But I do know that the Pope has already recognized the state of Palestine. That happened a couple of months back. And this, is, in fact, was when Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, visited the Vatican in Rome, Italy. The Pope stepped forward to recognize a Palestinian state. I must restate what I just said a moment ago. Never has been a Palestinian state called Palestine. This is all a part of a propaganda play by the Palestinians, and the Pope played into their plan to make the world believe there has been a Palestinian state. I want you to notice also that Jimmy brought out in this statement that the Sanhedrin would put the Pope on trial. Well, the Pope will be summoned to the trial there on the Mount of Olives in the city of Jerusalem to stand before the Sanhedrin, the 70 wise Jewish scholars who are a part of the judicial system in the state of Israel. By the way, President Obama has also been summoned to stand before the Sanhedrin and be tried for criminal acts against the Jewish people because of the Iranian nuclear deal, which does threaten the actual existence of the state of Israel.
On September 22nd and 23rd, Yom Kippur, also called the Day of Atonement or the Feast of Atonement, begins at sundown on September 22nd. This will mark the beginning of the next year of Jubilee, the 50th year, which involves focus on God, the cancellation of debts, restoration of the land to the original owners, etc. Will God focus on economic issues, Israel's restoration to the land, etc.?
Well, we're talking about the next year of Jubilee that will be upcoming, the 50th year. Jubilee and the sabbatical year were talked about in the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Indeed, every seventh year was to be a time of Sabbath. The Jewish people were to rest the land. They were not to raise any crops. The Lord would give them enough food supply in the sixth year to last through the seventh year and into the eighth year. The sabbatical year was every 7 years, and you would then add up seven of those sabbatical years. That would make 49 of the years. The next year would be the Jubilee year. Now, that's how it's laid out in Leviticus chapter 25. There is a problem, however, for today, because the Jewish people do not have the exact calendar that they should have. This next year will be 5776. Now, that may be off 2 or 3 years because of the new Jewish calendar that is put in place. They will know when the feast days take place and the months that are the Jewish months. For example, the seventh month and the first day will be the Feast of Trumpets, but it is also Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year. If there is going to be a sabbatical and or a Jubilee year, it does not happen on Yom Kippur, which is on the 10th day of the 7th month, but on the first day of the 7th month, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, translated, means the new year. Rosh meaning new or beginning or the chief of the year. Rosh Hashanah, the new year, not Yom Kippur at the beginning of the year. And so the entire thought process that went about coming up with this idea that it may be setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled is not on target.
September 23rd, Pope Francis is scheduled to visit the White House for discussions with President Obama about their shared values on caring for the poor, wealth redistribution, religious freedom, immigration, elimination of borders, environmental issues, global warming, etc. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it shows the importance of the Pope, first of all, that he has been invited to meet at the White House with President Obama. The Pope is a very influential character in our world today. However, he is not the Antichrist, as some seem to claim, even though he may be the 112th Pope to serve the church there in Rome, the Roman Church. But let me hasten to say that Rome is going to be a very important location, because Revelation 17 says that Rome will be the headquarters for the false church. Again, I hasten to say the Pope is not the Antichrist, but what's happening in the Roman church in the city of Rome is definitely a precursor to what is going to happen in the future.
September 24th, Pope Francis is scheduled to address a joint session of U.S. Congress about world peace, religious values, and probably a need for a world religion, caring for the poor, etc. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, when you go to God's Word in the book of Revelation, and I'm talking about Revelation chapter 17, you'll see that when the Pope is involved in any type of world activity, it is setting the stage for that prophetic passage to be fulfilled. And this visit by the Pope to the United States Congress here in America is indeed indicative of the potential for the fulfillment of Revelation 17. Revelation 17 points out a major city in Bible prophecy, and there in verse 9 it talks about a seven-mountain or seven-hilled city. That is the city of Rome, Italy, and that is the next most significant city in Bible prophecy, because in the city of Rome, you're going to see that the false church will be headquartered there, and the revived Roman Empire. These two entities, the false church and the revived Roman Empire, play a key role in end time prophecy. The Pope addressing the United States Congress is simply indicative and drawing our attention to the city of Rome, the next most important city in Bible prophecy.
Now, on the next day, on September 25th, Pope Francis is scheduled to address the United Nations. He wants to reduce the world's population, regulate global climate change, establish a global constitution, establish a global court, and establish a one-world government. Thoughts?
My thoughts on this are simply adding to what I've already said about the Pope addressing the United States Congress. He then goes to the United Nations. Now, it's only evidence, indeed, that this prophecy is about to be fulfilled. The revived Roman Empire will come into existence. That's found in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, and then verses 23 and 24. It says in Daniel 7:7, the old Roman Empire will have 10 horns. That's indicative of the revived Roman Empire, according to verses 23 and 24. And in verse 8 of Daniel 7, it's talking about the little horn. That will be the Antichrist, will come out of the revived Roman Empire, a major player in the end times, and in particular, the tribulation period. But let me just quickly remind everybody, these prophecies are not fulfilled until after the rapture of the church.
Continuing with the United Nations, September 25th and through to the 27th, they plan to hold a Sustainable Development Summit to expand the role of global governance, a world government. They plan to discuss global economic issues, climate change again, global education, gender equality. Is it really a plan to control the life of everyone on earth?
Well, Jim, we've been talking about Revelation chapter 17. What you've just mentioned now is a precursor to the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 18, which is talking about a one-world government that will come into existence. I mentioned the Antichrist just a moment ago. He will rule and reign over this one-world economic, political, governmental system, and it actually will be located in the literal city of Babylon. Now, that's modern-day Iraq, Babylon on the shores of the Euphrates River, today some 58 miles out of downtown Baghdad. Remember, Babylon has never been destroyed. Revelation chapter 18, verses 10, 17, and 19 report to us the prophetic truth that in 1 hour Babylon will be destroyed. Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 and following lays out that procedure. The greatest earthquake to ever hit the earth will destroy Babylon. In addition to that, hail, the size of about 75 pounds apiece, will be falling upon this part of the world to destroy it. All of these prophecies fulfilled, remember now, during the tribulation period, again, which follows the rapture of the church.
Dad, What should we tell people that believe that these convergence of events that are going to take place in September 2015, that they believe something big is about to happen?
Well, let me say, Jim, we must continue to study the scriptures. I think in the fact that you and I have had a conversation about this for a 3-week period of time in this 3-part series here on Prophecy Today Weekend should indicate that we've gone to the scriptures to deal with all of these issues. God's plan for the future is revealed through the ancient Jewish prophets. And through these prophets, the Holy Spirit of God breathed into them through inspiration what will happen in the future. Our understanding of Bible prophecy should not be based on current events, but God's Word. Bible prophecy, actually, in the end of time scenario that's found in God's Word, seems to indicate we're quickly moving to the time of the fulfillment. When we look at God's Word and then let that shed light on current events, that helps us to understand where we are in God's time. But remember, we get that from the Scriptures, not from current events. Of course, next on the agenda for the Lord is the rapture of the church, and there's no prophecy that has to be fulfilled before the rapture. That will take place, and then all of these prophecies that we've been talking about, Jim, will be fulfilled. By the way, that is God's Word, not current events that we're looking at.
Dad, thanks for letting me take the time with you to discuss these topics. Man, with everything that's happening in our world today, we can't help but keep looking up until the rapture takes place. So let's keep looking up until